Good evening. It is so good to see each of you, to be with you tonight, to worship our God. I'm so thankful tonight to be able to come back home to the congregation that I grew up. I love the Jacksonburg Church of Christ, and my ministry is with them, but my home is here at Florence Boulevard, and I thank you so much for that. And I reminded of what Paul said in Philippians, the first chapter in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So I thank you so much for all that you have done and continue to do for me. And it is so good to worship our God and to be with you tonight. If you have a New Testament, as you see on the screen, you can go ahead and open those up to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Now, Matthew, the 14th chapter is where we will be spending our time this evening talking about a very beautiful topic in the life of Jesus. And something, no doubt, that we need in our world today and something that we as Christians are called to emulate in our lives. The story is told of the preacher who was preaching and he was shaking out the brethren, as we would say. He was out in the back shaking hands as the members left. And he liked to pick on the ones who had a good sense of humor, the ones that could take it, the ones that could give it back to him, and he enjoyed doing that. One particular lady was coming through and she had a huge purse. One of these purses that you could probably fit 3 days worth of clothes in. And he looked at her and said, ma'am, he said, you have a huge purse today. He said, what is in that? What could you possibly have in that? She said, well, judging by the length of the sermon today, it should have been my lunch. And so tonight, I hope that is not the case, because I know the chili cook-off is always a good thing here. And I know that you have that to do tonight. Matthew, the 14th chapter, talking about the principle of compassion. Before we do that, I want to share a story with you. On November the 14th, 2012, a New York police officer by the name of Larry DePrimo was patrolling the streets of New York City, as he always did. And he looked at the street there and he saw a man that was sitting there against the wall of a shoe store. And he didn't have any shoes on. And in November in New York, it's probably, I looked in the weather, it's probably around 20 degrees up there around this time of year. And so it is very cold. And this man, this homeless man, was sitting there without shoes on. Mr. DePrimo, rather than charging this man with indecent exposure, which you can do in the state of New York if you don't have shoes on, or charging him with a criminal offense or giving him a ticket, he took this gentleman into the shoe store. And he bought him a pair of size 12 all-weather boots and thermal socks because it was very cold outside. And he took the man and he bought him those shoes and he shook his hand and said, God bless you and have a good day. Over in the distance, a woman by the name of Jennifer Foster was watching the scene and she was videoing it on her phone. And she's one of these people, as most of us probably are, they think that police officers are always out to do evil and harm. They think that, okay, they're looking for, if I'm going 1 mile over the speed limit, they're looking for things bad. They're never looking for things good or to do anything that is good for the community, really. They're always out to catch people offending the law. And she looked at this video on her phone when she got home and she replayed it because she really could not fathom what she had just seen. This police officer taking this man into the shoe store and buying him a pair of shoes. And she couldn't believe it, and she wanted to share it with the world because she thought this was amazing. And so she posted the video on Facebook. Within 4 days of her posting this video on Facebook, she got over 500,000 likes. People who watched the video and who were amazed at the act of compassion of this man. This police officer saw a man who was suffering. He was homeless, probably hadn't eaten in days, didn't have a pair of shoes. And rather than saying, oh, I just feel sorry for that guy, he took it upon himself to take the action necessary to alleviate this man's suffering. And Larry DePrimo's action of compassion revolutionized the Facebook world. Over 500,000 likes on Facebook because of one man that decided to have compassion on a man who needed help. If you're already there, Matthew, the 14th chapter, We talk about Jesus having compassion. This is one of the beautiful stories of the New Testament in which Jesus Christ had compassion. If you're there, begin with me in verse 13. Now, when Jesus heard it, the death of John the Baptist in context, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus came out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." But they said to him, "We only have here 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And he looked up into heaven and he blessed and broke and gave to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. And all those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. We talk about people in the world, Larry DiPrimo having compassion, but Jesus Christ truly changed the world because he took it upon himself to have compassion. And in this beautiful story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, we're going to notice 3 ways tonight that Jesus Christ had compassion. First of all, if you're there, Matthew 14, verses 13 and 14, Jesus had compassion in his attitude. He had compassion in his attitude. The Bible says that when he went out, he saw the multitude and he was moved. He was stricken. He was moved with compassion for them. If you look in the Gospels, this is not the only time that our Savior had compassion. If you were to look in Matthew, the 9th chapter, in verse 36, the Bible says that Jesus, when he looked at the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew chapter 15, verse 32, Jesus again, he looks out at the multitude and he was moved with compassion for them. And Jesus says, "I do not want them to go away. I don't want them to send. I don't want to send them away hungry because they've been following me for 3 days and they've had nothing to eat. And I don't want to send them away lest they faint on the way." Matthew chapter 20, in verse 34, Jesus is healing 2 blind men, and he looked at these blind men, and in Matthew 20, verse 34, Jesus was moved with compassion, and he touched their eyes. And they were made to see. And this is ironic in this passage. Jesus Christ is filled with compassion. But in this instance, it is extremely ironic. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 14 that Jesus was moved with compassion. Because if you back up to the beginning of the 14th chapter of Matthew, we read about who is beheaded. Who do we read about that's beheaded? John the Baptist. His cousin. His first cousin has been beheaded. And Jesus has just heard the news. And when he hears the news in verse 13, as we all do when we hear the tragic news of a loss of a loved one, what do we want to do? We want to get away. We want to get away from the crowd. We want to seclude ourselves, whether it be by ourselves or with our family members, and grieve. That's what Jesus was wanting to do. John the Baptist has just been beheaded. And in this instance, it's extremely ironic because Jesus Christ needed somebody to be compassionate to him. He needed someone to be there for him. He needed someone to do what Job's 3 friends did for him, to be there for him, to help him and alleviate his suffering over the death of John the Baptist. But what does Jesus do? In the midst of his own sorrow, in the midst of his own grief, and anguish and confusion, he looks at a multitude of people and he disregards his feelings and he was moved with compassion for them. Why? Because they needed alleviation from suffering more than he did. No matter his feelings, no matter his sorrow, no matter his grief, Jesus Christ was always thinking about someone else. And tonight I want to challenge us to have an attitude of compassion. That despite our worst day, someone else needs help worse than we do. And I am the world's worst at that. And if I'm preaching this to anybody, I'm preaching it right back at me. We all need to do this. Have an attitude of compassion. The story is told of the mother of the criminal who came to Napoleon Bonaparte with a pardon. Her son was due to be executed. She wanted a pardon. She wanted a reduced sentence. Please don't kill him. And Napoleon said, as a government official, that justice must be served. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. Justice must be served. But the mother said, you don't understand. I'm asking you to give him what he doesn't deserve. Give him something that he doesn't deserve. He deserves death, but please don't give him that. Give him a reduced sentence. And Napoleon carried out the death sentence for him. We read about a woman much like this in the book of John, the 8th chapter. In John, the 8th chapter, there's a woman that has caught in the act of adultery. She's brought to the feet of Jesus, as you can see by the Pharisees. They basically throw her at the feet of Jesus. And they yell out in their accusation, as the Pharisees often did, this woman ought to be stoned. She has violated the law of Moses. And you know what happens to adulterous women. They are stoned to death on the spot. No doubt they're stoned to death. Why? Because they broke the law of Moses. And they're testing Jesus. What's he going to do? Is he going to stone her? Is he going to pardon her? What's he going to do? They bring her to Jesus. They say, you stoned her. You know what the law says. You stoned her to death. And Jesus, you can see him lick his finger and sit down and write. I'd love to know what he wrote. He writes on the sand there, writes in the dirt. And he looks up at these arrogant, uncompassionate religious leaders. And he looks them right in the eyes. You who is without sin, cast the first stone. What does the Bible say they did? They went away from the oldest to the youngest. You can see him bending down to the woman after her accusers have left. And Jesus asked the rhetorical question, where are your accusers? Who accuses you? She says, no one, Lord. Neither do I. Go and sin no more. Jesus Christ alleviated people from physical suffering. He had the attitude of wanting to alleviate people's physical suffering. But in John chapter 8, Jesus Christ alleviated this woman from her greatest suffering, her sins. He told her to go and sin no more. Jesus Christ had an attitude of compassion. In the midst of his sorrow, in the midst of his grief, he was able to look at a multitude of people and be moved with compassion for them. Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, Jesus Christ had an attitude of compassion. Look down with me in Matthew chapter 14, verses 15 and 16. Jesus Christ also showed compassion by his action. Jesus Christ showed compassion by his action. The disciples came to him in verse 15. The hour was already late. And he tells them, or they tell him rather, the hour is late. Send them away. Let them take care of themselves. That's much easier, isn't it? That's much easier to do. Send them away. They can go into the villages. They can buy themselves food. And Jesus says, no. You give them something to eat. It doesn't matter if they take advantage of the system. It doesn't matter if they go around from church to church asking people to pay their bills for them. It doesn't matter what circumstance they find themselves in. You give them something to eat. You take it upon yourself to relieve and alleviate their suffering, because that's what you are called to do. Jesus Christ showed compassion by His action. If you'll change the slide for me, it's very important to note Webster's definition of compassion. Compassion is defined as a deep feeling of sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune. Here's the key. Accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Someone's suffering and someone's circumstances just cut you so deeply that you have to do something about it. You have to take it upon yourself to do something to alleviate their suffering. It's very interesting. I challenge you to do this because it's very beneficial. Read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm going to suggest to you that every single time, without exception, every time the Bible says that Jesus felt compassion or Jesus was moved with compassion, every single time an action is followed. For instance, in our text, He was moved with compassion for them, and what does He do? He feeds them. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, He feeds them. Matthew 15, verse 32, He feeds them. Matthew 20, verse 34, He was moved with compassion for the men and He healed their blindness. Every time the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion, an action followed. Jesus Christ lived the dictionary definition of compassion. Because every time He saw someone suffering, He did something about it. And as Christians, we're called to do the same thing. What does the Bible say in James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14? What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Of course, that's a rhetorical question. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give him the things that are needed for the body, what does that accomplish? Faith without works is dead. What good have you done if you say, I feel sorry for them? Nothing. The emphasis in the dictionary definition of compassion is you see someone suffering and you are so moved that you have to do something about it. And that's what our Savior did over and over and over again in His 1,200 days of ministry. He saw a multitude and He did something about it. And that's our challenge as Christians, because we must take action. What made people like Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King Jr., and Mother Teresa famous? It was their actions to help people, wasn't it? They looked at their circumstances, they looked at their life situation, and they said, oh, I feel so sorry for those people. And they did something about it. They didn't go down in the history books as some of the greatest people to ever live because they looked at their circumstances, they looked at their nation and said, oh, I feel so sorry for them. And that was it. No, they did something to help them. And that's why they are recorded as some of the greatest people to ever live, because they took it upon themselves to look at someone or to look at a group of people and to say, wow, they need help. I'm going to do something about that. But we see a group of men in Matthew chapter 14 that had nothing to do with that mentality. I remember in the second grade, we were in downtown Florence eating at Riccatoni's one night. I think it was for someone's birthday in my family. We were eating out there, and I was only in the second grade, and I love their pizza, that wood-burned pizza. That's really good. I love that. And so I got pizza that night, and I had some left over, and I planned to take it for lunch to school the next day. We were coming out of Riccatoni's, and a homeless man came from the other direction, and he tapped my dad on the shoulder and said, "Excuse me, sir, do you have something to eat?" Well, what's the first thing to go? My pizza that I had very much looked forward to taking for lunch the next day. And I got in the car and I was so mad. "Dad, why'd you give him my pizza? That was my lunch." And he taught me a very valuable lesson that I will never forget. He said, "Son, that man needed to eat more than you did." I was thinking, "No, he didn't. He took my lunch." But in reality, he did. He needed to eat more than I did. And when we look at our lives, I have a feeling that a lot of times we're like the apostles. What did the apostles do? They said, "Send them away. No, we don't have anything to eat. Oh, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what are we going to do with that? We don't have anything to eat here. There's no way. Send them away." A lot of times we have the apostles mentality. A couple of weeks ago at Jacksonburg, I was up at the building doing some work on my sermons and some grad school things. And I was out in the foyer. I was putting out a brochure for one of my, or a survey for one of my grad classes. And I looked out and I saw a very old car drive up. And I saw a very rough looking gentleman getting out of the car. And it scared me to death because I was up there by myself. Nobody was up there. And I opened the door and he said, is there a pastor here? I said, "Well, yes, sir, I'm the minister here at this congregation. Can I help you?" He said, "Yeah, I need some gas money." I said, "Well, I've got a rule. I don't give away money, but if your car will make it another mile, I'll take you to the MAPCO and give you a tank of gas." And I'm not going to lie. It crossed my mind, as it does some of you, I'm sure, just to say no. "No, I can't help you out. Sorry. I just don't have any money in my wallet right now. I'm sorry, I can't help you out." But it's in those situations that we are called to be like Jesus. It's in those situations so many times that we're so tempted to have that apostles mentality. "No, we can't help them. Send them away. Send them away. Let them go take care of themselves." But Jesus Christ calls us to do something different. Compassion requires action. Perhaps the most famous example of compassion is found in Luke chapter 10, the story of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, there was a man beaten, left for dead on the road. The priest passed him, didn't do anything. The Levite passed him, didn't do anything. And then the Samaritan passed. And I want us to notice what the Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 34. The Bible says that when the Samaritan saw him, so he went and bandaged his wounds. And he took him to an inn and told the innkeeper, "If I owe anything else for this man's bill, put it on my tab. I'll pay for it." So he went. He saw a man, he felt sorry for him. Bang, he was right there. He didn't do like the priest and the Levite did and said, "Maybe somebody else will help him." No, this man took him on his donkey and he helped him out. Compassion is not compassion unless it is accompanied by action. Compassion is not compassion unless it is accompanied by action. Jesus Christ in this text showed compassion by his action. And he showed compassion by his attitude. Last but not least this evening, Jesus Christ showed compassion in this text with abundance. He showed compassion in abundance. Look with me in Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 20. After they all ate and were filled, they took up 12 baskets full of leftovers. Now, The Bible only says that there were 5,000 men plus women and children, or 5,000 men that ate. That's the men only. In some commentaries, I read that they estimate this crowd to be probably 12,000 people. Let's just picture, for instance, CYC. They have about 12,500 people at CYC. Imagine Jesus Christ feeding, first of all, feeding CYC with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Not only feeding them, but filling them. And then when it's all said and done, they're going out in, on the grass and picking up the leftovers. There's only one force that I know of that can produce 12 baskets of leftovers. And that's the compassion of Jesus. Who else could have produced 12 baskets of leftovers? He not only fed them, He filled them up. He gave them a good meal. And in this we see the compassion of Jesus. I want us to understand something this evening. And this is true not only in regards to compassion, but everything that our Lord did. Jesus Christ never did anything half-heartedly. He did everything abundantly. Jesus Christ never did anything half-heartedly. He did everything abundantly. And this evening, Jesus Christ is compassionate in this text, and He's also compassionate to us. And since Jesus Christ is compassionate to us, He in turn expects us to be compassionate to other people. He expects us to take that to others. Jesus Christ is compassionate to us every single day. Numbers chapter 14, in verse 18, the Bible says that the Lord is merciful. He is full of mercy. He pardons iniquity and transgression. Our Lord is so abundant in compassion, and He pours that out to us every single day. And since He pours that on us every single day, in turn, we are expected to be compassionate to one another. Thank you, Bobby, for reading Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul writes this: "Therefore, as the elect of God, you as Christians," not only the Galatians, but everybody else, "you are to do this. As the elect of God," here's what you're supposed to do: "put on tender mercies." Now, the New King James Version, I have the New King James, and your versions may say tender mercies, but I love what the English Standard Version says on this passage. The English Standard Version says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the first thing that you are supposed to do is put on compassionate hearts." If we are going to be the Christians that we are called to be, and if we truly take following the example of Jesus Christ seriously in our lives, we must be compassionate people. When we see someone suffering, when we see someone having a hard time, we don't do as James 2 says, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled." We give them the things that are necessary for the body, and if the case may be, we give them the things that are needed for their spirit. We have to alleviate suffering. Christ was in the alleviating suffering business, and He calls us as His people to be in the suffering alleviating business. And I hope tonight that we take that very seriously, because tonight we live in a world that is suffering immensely. They're suffering physically, they're suffering spiritually. And we tonight must have compassionate hearts as the elect of God and be in that suffering alleviating business. And we have to take that seriously, because as children of God, that is what we're called to do. In conclusion tonight, showing compassion with passion. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 54, in verse 8, The Bible says that with everlasting kindness, God says, I will rule over you. With everlasting kindness and mercy and compassion, I will rule over you. And tonight, God rules over us with everlasting compassion. We need to understand that. It's very interesting in the Greek New Testament. The Greek word for compassion appears 12 times in the Greek New Testament, and one of those was in the text that we read tonight. 11 out of the 12 times it appears, it directly references the compassion of God upon His people. Tonight, this book strives to make plain and clear that the Lord has compassion on His people. And tonight, I hope it makes just as equally clear that He expects us to have compassion on those who need it. To those who may be suffering, physically, spiritually, whatever way they may be, we must have compassion on them. Last verse tonight in the lesson will be yours. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. We sing a song in our song book. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. That comes from this verse. But the part I want us to key in on as our concluding thought tonight, His mercies are new every morning. God's compassion to us is renewed every day. And I want to ask us tonight, is our compassion toward others being renewed day by day? Every morning when we wake up, do we have a new zeal to be compassionate towards other people? I certainly hope so. This evening, the Lord's compassion is abundant in that He provides us this evening a way to be saved and come to Him and inherit a home in heaven. Tonight, you can hear the Word of God preached, Romans 10, verse 17. You can believe tonight that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, Mark 16, verse 15. You can then repent of your sins and turn to Him and turn away from that sinful lifestyle, Luke 13, 3 and verse 5. You can also confess the sweet name of Jesus. Confess Him as your Lord and your Savior, Romans 10, verse 10. You can also then be baptized into Christ and wash away your sins in calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22, verse 16, Acts 2, 38, 1 Peter 3, 21. When you rise up from that watery grave of baptism, you are raised to walk in newness of life, to go on your way rejoicing, living faithfully to God and to Jesus Christ, Revelation 2, verse 10. 1 John 1, verse 9. If you need to be baptized tonight, I can't think of a better time than now to do that. Or tonight, if you find yourself living a life that you know you shouldn't live, we want you to make that right. If you have any need tonight, please make it known and come to Jesus Christ as He stands ready, as together we stand.